Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Thursday, January 30th, 2014. My name is Sally Bathurst. Thank you for tuning in to our new weekly show, Smart Talk Elections 2014, Know Your Candidates. We just started this a couple of weeks ago. We want you to know the facts about what's going on, know your candidates, have a chance to ask questions to the candidates, and know the issues and what you need to ask the candidates. Remember, if we seek the truth and face the truth, we can save America. So we will be starting that show in just a minute with the host, Sherry Smart and Neil Rice. But before we go there, let me go ahead and do a rant, like I always do. I'll save most of it for the second half of the show, because the second half of the show we're going to talk about amnesty. Yeah, because the GOP has introduced their new policy. They're going to start pass a bill about border security. Gosh, what a concept. Haven't we already been there for the past how many years? It's just totally nuts. The GOP is just so clueless. I don't know what they're, I mean, I can only say so much I'm legally allowed to say on the air. But the GOP is just out there in left field. However, we do have some hope because we have a senator by the name of Jeff Sessions. And we're going to talk about what Jeff Sessions is proposing, because he actually thinks we should care about Americans first. What a concept. So we'll get into that in the second half of the show. And everybody has got to pick up the phone, send the email, send the faxes, send the letters, bombard them with what the truth is about amnesty, the illegal invasion of the United States of America / treason, which is when you aid the enemy, that's called treason. So anyway, that will be my rant for the moment, and we will get into this later in the second half of the show. And with all of that being said, Sherry, it is all yours.
Oh, thank you so much, Sally. Excuse me, this is Sherry Smart, and I'm so proud to have Field Searcy on the air. I met Field actually through, The Blaze, that published one of your articles over a year ago.
That's right.
And
that's
I was
right,
so impressed.
Yes.
I called him up, made contact with him, and did a radio show with him then. And from then, Field has grown on, and he's taking on more and more basically standing up to the government and asking them to be held accountable. And what we're talking about tonight is going to be regionalism. And I was just talking to Field earlier, talking about regionalism. You know, when people hear it, they think, well, that doesn't sound so bad. But yet Field has bitten off a huge bite of this, and he's built a website talking about reject regionalism. And the website is extremely intensive. And this is a subject that when you're going to vote this year and you're looking at your candidates, I want you to ask them, what do you think about regionalism? And if they give you a blank stare like a deer in headlights, then you know they don't have a clue and that they can be turned at any time. So now I'm passing the floor over to Field. Field, thank you so much for joining us. And please, let's talk about what you're doing in Georgia.
Well, Sherry, thank you for the opportunity to be on your show. We do have a challenge in front of us. This is going on not only in Georgia but all across the country. It's a new form of governance.
Yep.
That really takes away the authority of locally elected representatives and puts in the hand of unaccountable and appointed boards that have, you know, vast authority to spend money and make policies that and they can't be held accountable. And that's why I started a website called RepealRegionalism.com. We started this right after transportation tax that was brought before Georgia citizens in 2012.
Tell them the acronym, because some of them may have heard it, but they only know it by the acronym.
T-SPLOS is what it was
right.
Known by most people here. And one of the topics that was all, I mean, everybody's concerned about taxes. They don't want to be taxed anymore. But one of the most under-discussed topics was the concept of regional governance, which was deeply embedded into the T-SPLOS legislation.
Exactly. So then you took it on by yourself. It was almost like a David versus Goliath scenario. And you won.
I wouldn't say I took it on by myself.
We had
an amazing grassroots team that came together. We worked with other organizations, really kind of a coalition between groups you never think would work together, like the NAACP, the Sierra Club, to fight this T-SPLOST. And then out of that, I've had a lot of tremendous help from that same grassroots group of people to expose more and bring this more into the discussion about what regionalism means in Georgia and why it's a problem. There are several reasons why we need to be concerned about it, because the way it was implemented in Georgia is that they've actually put it into to state law as to how the regions are set up around the state and how these governing councils are appointed and how, you know, they can, you know, make decisions.
Now, how many of those are the public, the general public, how many people really realize this is what's going on?
Well, that's a good question. We had a pretty big outreach to the state on this. I've been all over Georgia speaking to different groups, Tea Party groups, Republican groups, 912 groups, and really through their effort and their helping me, we were able to get a resolution adopted by the Georgia Republican Party last year.
Wow.
To reject regionalism, and I have to hand it to, you know, local people in each congressional district that championed the resolution we drafted, and they took it to their district convention, and it was adopted by the majority of the district conventions, and then it was taken to the state convention. We didn't get a chance to actually have it read or decided on the floor of the convention, which I was really hoping to do, because it's really about a process of educating people and informing them about how this has come about. But it did go to the state committee, did vote on it, and it was voted unanimously about a month or so after the state convention. So there is a growing awareness about this problem, and there's a lot of people stepping up to the plate to challenge it.
Well, thank God for that. But I've noticed here today I did two one-on-ones with my city commissioners to talk about this, and it was amazing. It was like talking to someone from a different planet. They totally did not understand where I was coming from. And then one of them even canceled the meeting. She called me up and she said, look, I don't agree with this. I'll meet you for lunch somewhere, but I'm not going to meet you in the office. And I said, well, no, let's meet in the office so at least we have it on the record that you didn't want to hear it. She didn't even do that. So it's amazing. And this is a person that I've known that was a personal friend, and I voted for her. So I don't understand what happens to them once they get into office. It seems that these special interest groups grab them and just totally, I don't know if it's whining and dining. I don't understand it. I don't understand where they don't get the idea, the notion, that they are marginalizing themselves and basically giving away their power to unelected bureaucrats. How do
exactly.
we get that across to them?
You know, that's a real good question, especially for, you know, local government, local county commissioners and city councils, because
right.
they're the ones that are going to be most affected. Now,
yes.
It's been implemented different ways in different states, and I'm not an expert in every state on how regionalism has been brought about in those states. But in Georgia, I can tell you that the way it's been brought about is, first, back in 2008, they reorganized the Department of Community Affairs in Georgia, and they set up 12 distinct regions or districts. We had 14 districts before, but they changed it to 12. And they created this governing council for this district that's basically the county commissioner, the county commission chair, one mayor from the county, and then you have several appointed residents that are appointed by the governor, one appointed by the lieutenant governor, and then one appointed by the speaker. And then in 2010, they passed HB 277, which was the Georgia Transportation Investment Act, and it again reaffirmed the 12 different distinct regions in Georgia, and it set up an additional council for the transportation budget. And this had another level of government where you had the county commission chair, one mayor from each county, and then again, three residents appointed by the governor. Lieutenant governor appoints one, and the speaker appoints one. And so you have this, mixture of elected representatives and appointed people. Now, one of the crazy things about it is, let's say, for example, you may not be familiar with the metro area, but we have 10 counties in the Atlanta Regional District, or Regional Commission, and a lot of these counties have multiple cities. So Cobb County has five cities, so the five mayors decide which one will go to this, be on this council.
Yeah, they appoint them or elect them or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And in Gwinnett County, they have 18 cities, so the 18 mayors get together and decide which one's going to get to serve.
Right.
Most people don't even realize that their mayor or county commissioner serves on this council.
That's
much
right.
Much less know that the regional governance structure even exists.
But you know what's amazing to me is how they fall into this trap. They act like it's just, oh, this is what we do. I had that conversation today with one of mine who was talking about, well, we have a new commissioner who's serving on this board. And I'm thinking, and he said, so she drank the Kool-Aid. Well, really? Why are we even doing this?
Right. The problem is it's hard for the citizens to hold them accountable because we don't really know what they're doing. And if they're appointed, then they're not elected. And the problem with appointed government is usually the people that get appointed have some favorite reason why they're being appointed by the governor or lieutenant governor or speaker of the House.
Of course.
And there's not a way to hold them accountable, you know, to the people.
Now, I'm looking at your website, and you've got regionalism and PPPs, threat to the Republic. Now, what in the Georgia Constitution, do you have anything in the Georgia Constitution to protect you from PPPs? Because here in Florida, Governor Scott has broadened that scope. And basically, he felt the noose tightening around his neck, so he broadened it, so he kind of slipped through it. Because when you compare the U.S. Constitution with your state constitution, sometimes they're at absolute polar opposites. So which one would take precedence, and are you finding the same thing in Georgia?
Well, let's talk about what PPP means.
Yes.
It stands for Public-Private Partnership.
Right.
And these are you're seeing more and more this structure being utilized to fund transportation or other projects. The problem with it is that it's, favored corporations are basically getting monopoly, power.
Mm-hmm.
It may be over building a interstate highway or with a toll booth. It could be, building stadiums for private professional football teams or baseball teams. This kind of thing is really breaking down the genuine free market system that we have or used to have in America. And you have government, public money being used to fund private enterprises.
Right.
And
we see it all the time here. In fact, I had the conversation about land purchase by our local government. We have a historic site, Warm Mineral Springs, that used to be in private hands. Well, the city of Northport decided to purchase it along with the county. So they joined hands and they bought Warm Mineral Springs that used to be in private hands. It's been closed now. So what was enjoyed by the public is no longer enjoyed. Now it's closed because they're trying to decide how to best use this property. It's the spring plus 60 acres. When they bought it under the premise that they were going to conserve it like a historic site, Now they're changing their mind and say they want to build on it.
Right.
They
this
want
is
it to be a money-making venture. Was that really the purpose of government?
Say that again, please?
Was that really the purpose of government? Was government really intended to be in business?
Absolutely not. And I don't know if you were following the news in Atlanta over the holidays back during Thanksgiving and Christmas, but the big story was that the Atlanta Braves are going to be moving to Cobb County. And
I'm sure you love
that.
Of
course, this was mostly negotiated in private, and the citizens didn't find out about it until about 3 weeks before the county commission was going to decide on whether they would approve the deal or not. And they've obligated Cobb County citizens to approximately $300 million in tax money over the course of 20 or 30 years, not counting the interest, to help fund this stadium for a private baseball team, you know.
And what benefit are you going to get out of this, you personally? What benefit will this give you?
Well, you know, they always sell it that, you know, well, it's going to bring jobs, it's going to be economic development, but that is not the purpose of government. Economic development. The purpose of government is to protect our rights and to, you know, provide, you know, for minimum amount of services that we can't provide for ourselves, like building roads for us, schools, public schools, and things of that nature. So, again, it's just more and more of this partnership with, you know, government and business. I give some examples in my presentation about a very famous case, Kelo versus New London. And if you're not familiar with it, this was a major Supreme Court case where in New London, Connecticut, there was an older subdivision that the developers wanted to redevelop, and they went to the city and said, look, if you'll take this property through eminent domain, we'll build this great mixed-use development property here. We'll have shops, and we'll have retail, and we'll have offices, and we'll have residential, and it'll increase the tax base, and it'll be a great win for the city, and it'll be a great win for us because we'll, you know, make money off of it, obviously. Well, the city proceeded to eminent domain, took the property. The citizens were not happy about it. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled in the favor of the city. They said, yes, the city can take this property for developers to build this mixed use.
Right.
And today this property sits vacant because the economy took a downturn. The property was never developed. Now the city's lost the tax base. The homeowners that were living there lost their homes. And it's not a win-win for everybody.
Field, we have the exact same thing going on right next door to me. I live on the cusp of Sarasota County and Charlotte County. I literally live on the cusp. I can drive just 2 minutes and I'm in Charlotte County. Charlotte County bought an area called Murdoch Village, the exact same thing. They claimed eminent domain, drove people out of their homes, ruined their lives, have this huge complex, and weeds are growing up. No one has used it. It is a huge drain. Charlotte County will go bankrupt. People are talking about it, and yet the people in power, the county commissioners, are oblivious. It's like, yeah, so what? So what?
Right.
They're living in a dream world. They don't seem to look at the hard economics of the situation, that this type of what they've been doing is bankrupting counties.
Exactly.
And ruining lives because people are being driven out of their homes. So your Kelo versus New London is the same thing that's going on right here. And
well,
now
fortunately,
we're
a lot of states, when that happened, they, you know, wrote some, you know, local state legislation that made it harder for cities to do that, but apparently it's still happening in certain states. So and that's I go around giving this presentation about public-private partnerships and regionalism and how it's breaking down our Republican form of government and our, you know, free market system.
Right.
And really the purpose of me doing all that is just to get people engaged, because if people are informed and they get involved in local government, they go to their county commission meetings, they go to their city council meetings, we can make a difference. And let me just give you a really good example. We had a gentleman that came to us back during the TSPLOS debate, and he lived up in Habersham County, or he lives there now, and that's up in North Georgia. And he happened to go to one of the county commission meetings, and they were planning to adopt some new property maintenance codes. And so he got a copy of these, and he started reading through them and realized that they were going to have new restrictions on size of bedrooms, location and placement of windows, and one of the most egregious new policies in there was they were going to limit in the rural areas of the county, you had to have a minimum of 30 acres to build a single-family home. And
what?
Yes, 30 acres minimum to build a single-family home. And you can imagine.
Okay, that's not feasible for a whole lot of folks out there.
Well, you can imagine people that had bought maybe, you know, 10 or 20 acres and they were going to build on it in the future, or maybe they were going to give half up to their kids and build a couple of houses on it. So there were only like five or six people at this county commission meeting. Well, he got it busy. He got out, and Habersham's not a big county. He got busy and got out and started talking to people and showing them what was going on, what was happening. At the next county commission meeting, there were 156 people there. And he didn't even have to speak because everybody else was outraged. And they were able to defeat that adoption of that property maintenance codes. But it's all because the people got engaged and they wouldn't stood up. And but that's what we need to get people involved in. Is, you know, we all get worried about what's happening in Washington, but a lot of times we can't do anything about that. But we can do something locally. We can do something at the state level, and that's where we need to be focusing our attention.
See, and that's an interesting concept that you just brought up, because that's what someone brought up to me 3 years ago, get involved locally. But what's interesting with regionalism is actually coming from the top. It's from the top down. And what they're espousing is forget about local. Don't listen to the public comments. We don't want to hear them. Just do it.
That's exactly right.
And this
and
is what...
I've seen some videos of the 750 group down in the 750 plan down in southeast Florida.
That's right.
And I'm trying to think of the gentleman that was doing the seminar, but he was talking about how that up in Orlando that it's more of a fascistic system they have there, where the government is really in partnership with business, of course, Disney. And he says, well, that's a good thing. We need to do more of that. And it's just astounding to hear that kind of, you know, conversation in America, where you think of, you know, representative government, free market system. It's just amazing to me.
No, it's frightening. And that's what we're fighting here in Florida. So then when you go in and you know, I applaud you, Field. I'm so grateful that you have people that listen. In Florida, when you look at the dynamics here, most people that move to Florida are coming from all over the country. So we have a real mixture. We've got people from Michigan. We've got people from Wyoming. You've got Indiana. You've got people New York. You know, you've got people from everywhere. So they come here, and their whole thing is, I'm retired. I don't want to be involved.
Right.
I just want to be left alone. I want to golf. I'm retired. Then when you go, I live in a unique area, Northport, which has a huge group of Russians. We have a huge group of Polish. We have a huge group of Ukrainians. So when you see regionalism and you talk about regionalism with them, they know immediately what it means. They say, oh, that's communism.
Yeah, so it's
a planet. Americans, you know, we're so naive, we don't understand it. So you can go and talk to the Russians, the Polish, and Ukrainians. They know exactly what it is. And sadly, because of the language barrier, when they get up to make a public comment, it's very difficult to understand. And a lot of our commissioners just totally dismiss them.
Yes.
They won't take the time to actually listen.
Well, regional government is central planning. And when
yes.
you think of that, you think of the Soviet Union, and you think, well, that's done and gone away with. We don't have that anymore. The problem is,
It's alive and well here in America.
What does Soviet mean? Soviet is a system of councils. It's a form of government that reports to an apex council and they implement a predetermined outcome.
Exactly.
And this is what's happening through regionalism all across America, actually all across the world. They're promoting regional governance of, you know, councils of government that are appointed, and there's really no accountability to the people.
And getting used to blurring the lines, and that's what I was talking about today. They're blurring the lines. You know, that you're, and what's funny is our elected officials are falling right into it. They're falling right into the trap. And you look at them, don't you understand that they're diminishing your power? I voted for you. I put my energy, everything I had behind you, and you're just saying, oh, that's not important. You don't need to be a stakeholder. You don't need a place at the table. Well, yeah, I do. I'm the one paying for all this.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, the United States of America, when we created our Constitution, it was a unique in the history of the world because it starts out we the people. The people are the sovereign. And the way it was structured is that the people are to be a check on their government, not the other way around. And it's the power comes from the bottom up, or should, from the people.
Exactly.
And
Field, I've got a question from Sally. Sally, go ahead and speak up. Let's you know, you're an outspoken woman and you're very smart. And so go ahead and join in. She just asked a question. She wanted to know if you knew Georgia congressional candidate Colonel Larry, and I can't pronounce the name. Sally, can you do it?
Yes, Larry Murzynski. Yes.
You know him? He's in Woodstock, District 11. Do you know
him? I don't personally know him. I know his name.
So do you know much about him?
He's a 30-year veteran. This is his first time running. He definitely is against the amnesty thing. He's what I call a constitutionalist. He is a Republican, but don't hold that against him. not with the way Republicans have been acting these days.
You got that right.
But anyway, I think you would really want to talk to him and let him know what you're working on and see that he's probably very much in support. Because we've had many discussions in reference to the craziness of what's happening in this country, the takeover of it. And I think he's another, I don't want to say he's a Tea Partier, but he's sort of a Tea Partier. I don't know, you know, how candidates get about saying anything to a Tea Party these days. But
Sally, do you have the contact information for him that you can give it to Field?
I've got his
contact. Make an introduction to them.
Yeah, well, plus he's
I know how to get in touch
with him.
I'm on his email list.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we're here tonight to also talk about coalition building, that it's important.
Right.
Yeah, that it's important that we know people like Field. We know somebody who's out there, is in the trenches, who understands what's going on, and then he's getting out there and talking. And Field, thank God, is having some success, a lot more than what we're experiencing here in Florida. So it's great to hear from him and learn from him.
Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick there, just so you know, it was like 2 weeks ago, Monday, Larry was on the show. We had a full show with him talking about his candidacy, so you can listen to his platform. And I first met Larry when we were fighting the tolls, and I actually met with him up in Georgia to fight the, I think it's called the Georgia 400, where they finally are supposed to be sunsetting the tolls. And, of course, they were putting the toll lane on the 85 Beltway. And so Larry is very much against the toll road stuff, too, and the public-private partnerships with that stuff. So you might want to have a chat with him.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be nice. And then please keep us in the loop on how that turns out.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're all trying to gather together. And I understand that Georgia is a home rule state.
Georgia is the only state in the union that specifically has provisions in the Constitution, of the Georgia Constitution, for home rule. And if the listeners are not familiar with what that means, is home rule is just local control at the county level, city level, to determine your own destiny. And not that we shouldn't work with adjoining counties, or not that we shouldn't work with the state, but local control is what our founders intended. because the people can be closest to the local government. It's hard for us to go to the Atlanta Capitol. It's much more. It's much even harder to go to D.C.
Right.
To make a change there.
Sherry, we have a
yes.
caller, and they're from the 770 area code. Last four digits are 5674. Who wants to speak on the air?
Please,
caller, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Sue Stanton, and I do know Field, but I would like to mention that here in Georgia now, we have a lot of unelected authorities that are appointed by our county commissions and by the governor and the speaker. They have autonomous control over several areas of our state government, and they are allowed to bring down federal dollars. And with those federal dollars comes federal control.
Yep. Federal strings go with
yep.
those federal dollars, Sue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling in on that, Sue.
Thank you, Phil.
Okay, now do you know Sue, Phil?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. We served together
okay,
on the Georgia Tea Party.
Oh, wonderful. So, Sue, thank you so much. And, yeah, please chime in anytime that you want. Just go ahead and stay on the line, and we'll just join in because you can bring up things that we all need help with. I don't know about you guys, but I'm really tired of it. I get exhausted, and I know Sally is, that we are very, very active, and we're talking to our local commissioners, our local representatives. And I don't know. It seems that there's a percolating coming up, and I don't know how you two feel about it, but do you feel that there's a shift happening or not?
Definitely.
And that you're being listened to.
No, we're not being listened to on a lot of levels.
I think some people are beginning to get it and to, you know, awaken to what's happening. It's not enough yet. We still need more people to be engaged. But I think those in government don't want to listen because they're the ones in power and they
right.
want to keep the status quo.
They don't want to see their power erode. In other words, they don't understand that if you stand for something new, you know, you actually might end up better off than you are right now. They're so concerned with protecting their power base that they're not looking at the future. They're very narrow-minded.
And little do they realize that they're giving up their power base.
Thank you.
And the future. Personally, I definitely do believe there's a type of revolution going on right now. I call it the Second American Revolution. It's happening. The question is, will enough Americans rally up in time to win the Second Revolution? And at the same time, I guess the thing that does give me hope is when you go back to the history, it was a small, irate minority that got the
right.
revolution started to begin with. And, you know, most of the people, and I mean, I don't care what party you're in. I'm so sick of the parties. That's why I left them both and left all of them behind. Do like George Washington, but no parties. But when you talk to individuals one-on-one, the majority of people, we're not that different. You know, it's only when they go ahead and take the different factions, such as the political parties or such as the Latino vote, it's like, you know, if the GOP had a brain, they'd actually go for the American vote. We've lost who we are. There's like an identity crisis here. And the true Americans, those who truly believe in this country, are getting so fed up, and we are coming together. And, you know, George Bush had a little bit to do with that, and also dictator Obama in there.
That's right. Both parties are duplicitous. Now, Field, on your page 19, regional tax base sharing, explain that to people of what that means. In other words, problems created by another county will become your county's financial burden. This is what people don't understand about regionalism. Could you go into that so people get it?
Let me refer back to the TSPLOST that was voted on in 2012. And the way the state government organized the state into 12 regions, Atlanta's the Atlanta Regional Commission. We have 10 counties.
Mm-hmm.
And some counties are more populous than others. Some counties have more burdens than others, but
right.
the way the tax is structured is that some counties are going to be donor counties and some counties are going to be recipient counties. So Cobb County, you know, their share of the tax is going to be gone to use in other parts of the region that wasn't really going to benefit Cobb County. And same thing for other counties like Rockdale. They were going to, you know, be a donor county, I believe, too. So that's what we're talking about, is we're spreading, well, it's kind of a way of spreading the wealth,
mm-hmm.
Or regional equity. Some people call it social equity.
Right.
There's been a book written about this, Spreading the Wealth, by Stanley Kurtz, and it talks about how they want to tax the suburbs to pay for the cities, because the cities have much more burdens of infrastructure, you know, whether it be transportation or transit systems or whatever, but they want to tax the suburbs to pay for that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people will hear that, and hopefully they'll act on it and say, wait a minute, this is not right. That's a whole other subject. I was going to get into education with Common Core, the same thing. You're trying to teach the same thing across the board when there's so many different areas to look at. You can't teach the same thing all across the board. It doesn't apply to different areas. And that's what regional tax-based sharing is doing. In other words, you know, I'm looking at your map right now, and, you know, you're looking at Atlanta, Fulton County, Cobb County, all that area. And then you've got the north part, which is all woods, not a whole lot of development. So why would you have to take all of your money and share with them?
Well, you know, we have a state Department of Transportation that's responsible for, you know, our major roads that go through the state. And they have, you know, money that comes in from the gas tax. And their responsibility is to manage those roads. And this whole TSLOS was creating a whole other level of taxation that was to fund all kinds of projects, not only transportation, but you know,
economic
bike lanes,
redevelopment.
And redevelopment. So, what we're looking at doing, and we're really excited about a piece of legislation that's in the state house right now, HB 195.
Ooh. Say that again. What is it?
HB 195.
Okay, HB 195. Okay.
What it does is that it rewrites the law that was created by HB 277, the TSPLOS law, and it allows more flexibility. It says if two or more counties want to work together to pass a tax to build a road, then they can do that, but we're not lumped in with the other 9 or 10 counties in the region. And
right.
It gives a lot more flexibility, and it takes away the appointed structure of the Regional Transportation Board and puts the authority back on the elected county commissioners to come up with a list of projects, bring that to the voters, and have the voters vote on it. And that's a piece of legislation I think we can support, provided it can stay intact the way it's written now.
Now, let me ask you a question, Sue and Field. Now
yes.
That you both live there in Georgia, do your county representatives or local municipalities know who you are?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a relationship to the point that they know who you are? When they see you, they say, oh, hey, Field, hey, Sue.
No, they don't usually say it. They kind of look at us and go, oh, no, they're here again.
But they know who you are.
Oh, yes.
Yes, they know who we are.
That's the point I'm getting to.
They hate us.
Well, that's all right, because I'm very well hated myself. And that's okay, because as long as they know who you are, that means that you have a presence, and that you are taking a stand for a point that they're not hearing. And I'm hoping that everybody that's listening tonight will do what Field and Sue are doing. I mean, this, you know, you guys weren't pros at this when you started, were you? I mean, you're...
Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
That's right. So you're like me, an average Joe, who's looking around and says, you know what, I really don't like what's happening. I think I need to start asking questions. And they do not like you when you ask questions. Especially
no, they don't.
When they're sincere questions.
You're absolutely right.
Especially or when
you
they don't
oppose
have an
some
answer.
Of the, when you oppose the projects that they support.
Right. Now,
well,
I'm looking here on your 22, regional government equals central planning. And here, this goes right back to what I was talking about, living here in Northport with Russians and the Polish and the Ukrainians. They
mm-hmm.
know what that means. And so
yeah.
you have on your chart, what does Soviet mean? So what we're talking about is that they implement a predetermined outcome. Now, we call that the Delphi technique. Do you want to talk about that field a little bit, about how that happens and how our own elected officials are Delphied?
Sure. The Delphi technique was developed by the RAND Corporation during the Cold War, and it was basically developed to lead a group of participants to a predetermined outcome, making them think that it was their idea to make that selection. And this is done, a lot of times it's called visioning
right.
workshop or a charrette, and the planners that manage and run these meetings have already decided what they want to do. Their job at this point is to convince the citizens that this is their idea and get them to adopt it. And
but they don't just do it to the citizens. They do it to our elected officials as well. When they go
yep.
to the National League of Cities, this is all pre-planned. They have it
exactly.
all. So go ahead and go into that a little bit, Phil, so people understand. When our we vote somebody new in, we're so excited. Oh, my gosh, this person's going to stand for me. You know, it's going to be home rule. They're going to reestablish what it was intended to be. And then starts the process of the National
well,
League of Cities.
There's several ways that it's implemented.
Right.
One of the ways is they do it is they put people in groups, usually, and there's oftentimes a facilitator at the table that's part of the organizers, and they're supposed to, you know, gather people's comments, and they might have everybody write down their idea about things, and they turn that in, but nobody really gets to see how the votes are counted.
Right.
We actually witnessed this during the peace laws. They were having town hall meetings debating the new tax, and we would submit questions on index cards, and we actually witnessed the county officials scratching through the questions. And so everybody's voice is not always heard, and if you happen to be outspoken mm-hmm. and you challenge the facilitator, that's the worst thing you can do, because the facilitator will make you look like a bad person. And nobody will want to challenge the facilitator on any other point. They make
right.
they make the person that's challenging, they make them look like the enemy.
An outcast.
And so that's one of the ways they do it, is to silence people or keep them from speaking their mind. The other way they do it is they may have a survey. And they say, would you like A or B or C? But there is no other, and there is no option to say, well, I don't like A, B, or C.
Right.
So it's really, you can't determine, you know, what's on the ballot. You can't decide what the question is going to be and what the answers are going to be. So they can tally what they want to tally and report however they want to report it.
And they will. It's already predetermined. I think each and every one of us talking on the phone right now has experienced that, along with our elected officials, that you go in, you sign your name. Once you sign in, that means that you're compliant. So if you don't sign in, that means you're not compliant. Then you're given a little stickers that you get to stick up on the board. Hey, you get so many stickers, and you place them under where you want them to go because they already have the questions up. You don't get to put your own question up. They're already
mm-hmm.
predetermined. So everything's, and then when you ask for the outcome, somehow that answer never gets back to you.
Or it's the predetermined outcome.
Exactly.
Well,
if
you have a different opinion, you think, well, I guess my idea wasn't as good as everybody else's. That's why my idea is not being presented.
That's right.
So,
mine's in the can because it was not worthy.
Right.
Okay, Field, I'm looking at your paperwork that you put out, and is there any way that I can steal parts of it and use it? Because I really
use it
like
however you like
that.
It.
Okay, because I really like the format. It's very clear and concise. There's page 24. We don't have it. I wish we did in Florida. And you're talking about noxious weed, kudzu. Sally, I don't know if you're familiar with kudzu or not. Are you?
No, not off the top. No.
Oh, my gosh. If you go to Georgia, it covers everything. If you stand in place for 5 minutes, it's growing on you. And this is a weed that came from, where was the origination, Scotland or Ireland? Where did it first
come
from?
No, it came from, from Asia.
From Japan.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter brought it from Japan.
Oh, my gosh. And this thing will grow on anything. If you close, if you blink your eyes, 5 feet of it grows. It's amazing. It's on everything. But anyway, what I'm getting to is this noxious weed, and he's using it on page 24. So he's talking about it, and I think you're making a comparison between that and regional government. In other words, we're competing for the same resources, that regional government blocks access to freedom, that it overtakes and kills the normal life, and it's a growing menace. I mean, I really like the way you did that. I wish we had something in Florida that we could do the same thing. So you give me permission to steal?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In Florida, you could use the pythons.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just saying I haven't seen one in my yard. However, I have had a panther in the yard. I have had a boar in the yard. I've got some critters out there that I really don't. You don't want to walk to your mailbox after dark.
Yeah.
So, but I haven't seen the python. Yeah, that would be a nice, I'd be a tasty treat. Very interesting. So is there anything else you'd like to say? I mean, I'm just so proud of you, Field.
Well,
Sue, you
as well. I appreciate that, but I have to. I have to give a lot of credit to, you know, the people that have, you know, listened to me and supported me and helped me promote this around the state, and just a great group of grassroots folks I've been working with over the last four or five years. I really appreciate them.
Now, let me ask you something. Are you involved with a coalition of four private property rights? That's a four, numeric four. Are you involved with them at all?
I'm not involved with them, but I'm familiar with their work, and they're doing a great job.
We support them.
Well, thank you, Sue. Now,
In fact, I'm going to have to jump off of this call because I have to get on a conference call on the Common Core.
Right.
We're trying to fight that here in Georgia. And
we are in Florida.
Yeah, so we have a big meeting down at the Capitol Tuesday, and we have a conference call coming up right now.
Now, who are you? Are you communicating with anybody in Florida about what's happening in Common Core in Georgia?
Not anyone particular in Florida, no.
Would you give me your contact information by way of Field, and then we can connect, and I can connect you with people in Florida that are working on that?
Sure. Yeah, Field has all my contact information.
That would be great. We need to start building a group together that's multi-state so we can help each other out.
Yeah, we're doing
that
on smart meters right now, too.
Oh, we are, too. We've got a huge...
Yeah, I'm on that national coalition fighting the smart meters.
Great. Then you're... Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. That's another problem.
Exactly.
We work with... Victoria Bear out of Jacksonville quite a bit, too. She's very dynamic. And
I do as well.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that's part of it, is connecting people. But it's amazing, Field, because you've done such a great job, and there are still people in Florida that are not aware of you. And that's where I'm coming from. You know, you need to be a part of this as well.
I'll do my best.
Yeah.
Love to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think so. We need all hands on board kind of attitude. Sally, is there anything you wanted to say?
No, I just want to thank you.
Oh. I'm sorry. Who's? I was just going to ask a quick question. We were talking a little bit about the public-private partnerships earlier.
Yes.
And the key thing when I talk about this stuff to people, and I mean technically in the Florida Constitution it says, the state cannot go into business with a for-profit corporation, blah, 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 but of course they do it all the time.
Right.
People need to understand it's truly the collusion of government in the private sector. When you
put those
two pieces in and you join them at the hips, you no longer have a private sector. It's all, you know, and it goes back to the most basic of what is communism?
Well, and that's
when
you have to call
property.
That's when you have to call them out and call
exactly.
it fascist. That's right.
Exactly.
And that's what this is. It's fascism. And, you know, this is a point. Now, Fields, have you been talking to the private sector? I know that you're really big in local government and all of that. Have you reached out to the private sector, your big builders, those kinds of people? Have you sat down and spoke with them, talked with them about this?
Not as much as I need to, and
okay.
That's something we should work on.
Yeah, that's exactly my next step as well. But I was thinking, you know, I'm hitting up my local politicians, but I'm not reaching out to the private sector, and I'm not talking to them to find out, hey, you know, if you got rid of this stuff, you'd have a better chance. The field would be wide open for you. But here you're spending on... Go ahead.
Part of the problem is that the chambers of commerce...
Right.
They're all for this. They're
right.
All
I'm
for,
not talking about the chamber, though. I understand
yeah,
what you're saying, but go ahead.
You know, they're for public-private partnerships. They're
yes,
for...
They are.
Regional governance, and because they believe it's going to bring economic development,
and they're
but,
they're crazy, but yeah,
it's usually the larger businesses that are really the big promoters. The smaller businesses that are part of the chamber really don't have a say, and I don't know that they're as in favor of it as you know the big guys are. So. We were going out to local businesses and talking to them about the T-Splost, and they were just appreciative that we would even come out and talk to them about it because they were against it.
Right.
And, of course, the chamber was promoting the T-Splost. So,
well,
but that is a good avenue to work on to reach out to the bigger businesses and show them where this is going to lead to if it's allowed to foster and grow more.
And see, this is the thing that I'm concerned with. We have very, very wealthy builders in this area that are looking at large parcels of land, you know, and they're salivating over it. Oh, I can develop this. So they're making dealerships and partnerships with the devil. And you want to tell them, whoa, 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 if you don't make this decision right now, if you will just hold off and wait for the free market, you're going to do so much better. But I think everybody's so panicked because we're in such a depressed state right now.
Exactly.
And everybody's looking for a source of money. Where is the money? And the only place that has money is government.
Federal government has the printing press, and so they can print all the money they want.
Exactly.
And they use the grants to get states to adopt these policies. And
right.
They use states and cities and counties to adopt the policies. So,
when you said that brought something to mind. You might want to put it in one of your graphics. But basically, you need to have grants. You need to be in a dark alley, and you need to have a shiv in some guy's ribs and say, "I'm the grant. I'm the grant money. Are you going to take it or are you going to die?" Because it's tantamount to the old days, you know. Where, you pay me, or you're out of business.
Yeah. Well, one of the oldest public-private partnerships...
Or you're gone.
One of the oldest public-private partnerships is the Federal Reserve System.
Well, don't even get me started on that.
Yeah.
Do you know, this is an interesting conversation, and we're getting off track a little bit, but I had a girlfriend come over the other... a couple weeks ago, and we talked about it. She didn't realize that it was a private bank. She thought it was really a part of government. I said, "Oh, my God, I can't believe I've known you this long, and this is what you think." So I started showing her documents. I showed her a book that's a wonderful book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and she was blown away. And I said, "Well, do me a favor. Go back and talk to your circle of friends and come back and tell me how many people actually know." So she came back 3 days later and said, "Only one person knew." I said, "You've got to be hanging out with a smarter crowd." So there's a little local newspaper that I print, and it's called American Patriot News. And my first article is "While America Sleeps, December 23rd, 1913, while most of Congress was on Christmas break, a few that stayed in Washington sneaked the Federal Reserve Act by." And then it goes into all what it means. And that we had an opportunity, Big Brother America, government preparing for the end of the Federal Reserve Charter in 2013. Did we do that? or do we sign up for another 100 years of servitude?
From what I understand, that they already granted it about a year ago before the end of it, before it expired. So
that's right. That's right. That's right. But at least, you know, the first thing is get people educated so they understand exactly what they're doing. Don't be fooled by these names, folks, just like regionalism. It's not warm and fuzzy. It's taking away power from the very people that you voted in. And that's, you know, people have to really wake up and realize. You know, the funny thing about living here in Northport with Russians, the Russians told me, we knew we didn't pay attention to our news at all. Americans still pay attention to their news. They knew they were being lied to. Americans are still following into this, thinking that they're telling the truth. At least the Russians knew. But, nah, you don't believe anything that they're telling you. But Americans still, oh, I believe, I believe. No.
Well, that's what's so great about alternative radio, like what you're doing and others in the alternative radio community, getting out the truth and not a controlled agenda. That's just, you know, waking up, of course, the Internet, too. And I think it's the Daily Bell, they call it, they refer to it as the Internet Reformation, that it really is bringing about a huge awakening around the world as to who's been pulling the strings and who's been lying to us and who's, you know, really the criminals and trying to expose them. And hopefully more and more people will stand up and oppose it and bring others along with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's one other thing, and I don't know if you guys are doing anything in Georgia with it, but are you doing anything with the common law grand juries in Georgia?
I don't know of any movement that right now.
Okay.
I haven't really taken the time to research and study that. I know I've seen billboards down in Florida about it.
Okay.
But I'd like to know more about it. There's so many things that are happening. There's so many tentacles that are coming after us with Common Core and regionalism and Obamacare and everything else. It's hard to become an expert in everything. So that's why I focused on regionalism, because I felt like if we lost representative government, we wouldn't have a chance, you know, to make a change.
No, and I love your website. So would you go ahead and tell people how to access your website? It's www.rejectregionalism.com.
Repeal regionalism.
Oh, I'm sorry. Repeal. I'm sorry. Repealregionalism.com.
Yes.
And
we
then
have,
can they...
Just to give you some other... We have a Facebook page dedicated to this, and we also have... if you go to the Take Action screen, there's... a resolution that you can download and adopt for your county or city to reject regionalism.
I love that.
Please take that. There's handbills and yard signs and fact sheets you can download to share with your friends. We have a Facebook and Twitter account. And so a lot of resources there to spread the word. And we have different articles, blog posts, different articles that have been published in the AJC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, on regionalism. So help us out.
And
spread the word.
Yeah, Phil, could I ask you one quick question? I know we're just about to wrap up here, but since we're talking about the elections for the night, what candidates, and this is any of them locally, statewide, wherever it is, what candidates should people really stay away from, or is it all of the above, or what are the candidates that actually seem to have a clue that you would suggest people rally behind, or are you at that point yet?
Well, I don't like to endorse or recommend any particular candidate. I think you have to challenge them on where they stand on the Constitution and are they going to uphold it or not, and that's really the bottom line. And, you know, ask them where they get their authority, you know. Where do they get their authority to govern? And I think, you know, if you challenge them on some of the things that we talk about, on Common Core, on regionalism, you'll find out where they stand. Because if they don't have a clue, then you know they're not informed enough to even make a determination whether they're for or against it.
That's
so,
right, and they could be bent. They could be bent.
Exactly.
You know, if they don't know, and they're going into office and they have no clue, then, oh, forget it, they're going to be bent because you and I are not going to have a strong enough voice to show them the light.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I keep telling my people that work with me in the grassroots community, I said, if we can get 10 people in every county, we have 159 counties in Georgia, if we can get 10 people in every county that are engaged that will, you know, call their state rep or state senator
right.
during a legislative session, you can move mountains with that. That's a lot of folks. So we just need to be informed and be engaged.
But I love what you just said, Field, because you're asking for just 10 in each county.
Right.
That doesn't seem like a whole lot of people for each county. That seems doable to me.
I think it
is. So in other words, if we can get 10 people from each county to be active, then we can move mountains. But those 10 people have to do what? They have to make phone calls. They have to show up. Let people
yeah.
know what you're expecting from them.
And maybe that, you know, if those 10 people, they've got their own network of friends in that county. Maybe they
right.
can't go to everything, but if they can at least put the word out and rally for, you know, two or three of their friends, then that's all it need. That's all we need. That's enough to turn the tide, I believe.
Well, let's keep in touch. I really admire what you're doing. You have a clean website, and yeah, I really want to steal from it because you make it really simple. And I thank you so much. And please continue the great job you're doing, and let's form a coalition so we can reach across and help each other. They're doing it with regionalism. They're you know, wiping out the boundaries of counties and states. Well, let's you and I join hands and reinforce the counties and the states.
You've got my partnership on that, Sherry, and thank you both, Sally and Sherry, for what you're doing.
Thank you so much,
thank you.
I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, and we're going to get on to the amnesty subject. For anybody who would like to either continue on or just listen, you're more than welcome to, because now it's amnesty time. For those of you who may not be aware, they just the GOP was having their own little bandwagon party, whatever, and coming up with what their plans were going to be, and once again, the issue of amnesty. And now I'm just getting the bits and pieces of it. We'll definitely talk more next week, maybe on Monday, to get into the guts of what they're saying. But the GOP is true to its form. It's going to cave in. It's really just another wing of the Democratic Party. People have to understand that. When you find somebody in Congress who actually seems to believe in the Constitution, who actually seems to believe in freedom of rights, the rule of law, you know, and these kind of things. It's just there are some there. There's some on both sides of the aisle, but when the way the parties work, it's nuts. So it's so superficial. The GOP is so superficial. You know, that's the only thing. If you want to, the Democrat Party, what it used to be. Neither parties are what they used to be. Okay. Democrats used to be supporting the worker, the middle class, and all this kind of stuff, and making sure that they weren't abused. Protecting the rights of the individual is kind of what they were supposed to be. At the same time, the GOP is the one who really, truly promoted individual rights and empowerment and smaller government because the individual. But they've both just gone, they're just all out in left field and whatever you want to call it, truly left field. And because of that, everything is going haywire. But I'll tell you something. Somebody, a senator I have followed for years, and while I'm a person who's definitely in support of term limits, I have to admit I'm glad this person is still there, and that's Senator Jeff Sessions. And I'm going to read some of the information that you guys need to know, because Senator Sessions, he has been fighting the amnesty immigration thing. Believe it or not, Senator Jeff Sessions actually thinks we should focus on Americans, where the GOP, in their nutsy, schizophrenic way, thinks it's all about the Latinos. It would be so nice And, I mean, the Democrats don't say one way or the other. I mean, they just play the game about whatever. So I'm not even really going to address what the Democrats are doing at this point. But the GOP, they want to embrace Latinos while they trash Americans. Now, how stupid is that? And the truth is, if the GOP had a brain, and just remember, GOP reverse is POG, piece of garbage, if they had a brain, they would go out there and they would embrace Americanism concept. This is what the Tea Partiers and the American people, including many Democrats, want. They want a sense of American values again, and you're not. The GOP is just, once again, in the schizo zone. They need to be put on Prozac or clozapine or something because they're just totally nuts. But Jeff Sessions is out there trying to bring some sanity to this crazy, out-of-control GOP party. But, you know, I mean, nothing irks me more. And I mean, I'm listening to these clips where the new GOP plan is to secure the borders. Wait a minute, you've already passed a bill to secure the borders. If you had a president that didn't violate the constitutional laws of his office, we'd actually be enforcing the law and enforcing the border. I mean, this isn't new stuff. But the GOP is acting, look what we're going to do. They're nuts. They're nuts. Anyway, there's this article here, excuse me, and I've been faxing it to various as many GOP and actually some Democrats too, representatives and senators as possible, because they're going to know I will not, as an American, I will not vote for anybody who supports amnesty. So Marco Rubio, because he's been running with his tail between his legs ever since his stupidity of me being such a Latino voice, S744, which most legal Latinos don't like anyway, his craziness there, he's been pushing back. He is scared. He's running for cover. But yet his GOP friends, his party out there, is out there trying to, you know, continue to push forward craziness. So this article, it's the Weekly Standard. I'm sure many of you have heard of it, the Weekly Standard, weeklystandard.com. Sessions warns House GOP, immigration bill is bad politics and bad policy, offers a better way forward. And this is Dan Helper, who's the one who wrote the article on this January 29th. Yesterday afternoon, before President Obama's State of the Union address, Senator Jeff Sessions' staff hand-delivered to each Republican member of the House an important memo on the so-called immigration reform being debated on Capitol Hill. The three-page document written by Sessions argues that pushing for the current immigration legislation forward is bad politics, bad policy, and there's a better way for Republicans. Excuse me. Sessions is the voice of reason, I'm telling you. I mean, I've listened to him in the committees. I've listened to him on the finance committees, and I don't tend to argue or disagree too much with him. Sessions believes House representatives are at risk of failing falling into President Obama's trap. According to the news report, House Republican leaders are instead turning 2014 into a headlong rush towards Gang of Eight-style immigration reform, writes Sessions. They are reportedly drafting an immigration plan that is uncomfortably similar to the piecemeal repackaging of the disastrous Senate plan, and even privately negotiating a final package with Democrat activists before consulting their own members. This is the hypocrisy of the Republican Party, and this is why we have to defund the Republican Party. They're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites and treasonous traitors, as far as I'm concerned, are hypocrites. They are just part of the Progressive National Committee. Forget that, you know, there is no RNC and DNC. It's the Progressive National Committee. Okay, it's bad politics, Session writes. In the rush to pass an immigration bill, there has been a near absence of any serious thought about the conditions facing American workers. The last 40 years has been a period of record immigration to the U.S., with the last 10 years seeing more new arrivals than any prior 10-year period in history. This trend has coincided with a wage stagnation, enormous growth in welfare programs, and a shrinking workforce participation rate. A sensible conservative approach would focus on lifting those living here today, both immigrants, native-born, immigrants and native-born, out of poverty into the middle class before doubling or tripling the level of immigration into the U.S. See, I mean, the idiocy, the stupidity of the Republican Party with the crap they're doing. And I really encourage people to print this article and send it to every single one of your elected public servants, and especially highlight it and put it in bold to the GOP, GOP-POG. A sensible immigration policy would also listen to the opinion of American people, not the opinions of the paid-for consultants trotted out with their agenda-driven polls to GOP member meetings, but the actual, honest opinion of the people who sent us here. There is a reason why none of the corporate-funded ads for amnesty breathe a word about doubling immigration levels. According to the Rasmussen reports, working and middle-class Americans strongly oppose large expansion of our already generous immigration system. Those earning under $30,000 prefer a reduction to an increase in an overwhelming 3-to-1 margin. And bad policy. Okay, see, and bad policy. The senator from Alabama details coordinating with a small group of the nation's most powerful special interests last year, President Obama and Senate Democrats forced through an immigration bill which can only be described as a hammer blow to the American middle class. Not only would it grant work permits to millions of illegal immigrants at a time of record joblessness, it would also double the annual flow of new immigrant workers and provide green cards to more than 30 million permanent residents over the next decade. These new workers, mostly lesser skilled, will compete for the jobs in every sector, industry, and occupation in the U.S. economy. He adds, House Republicans in crafting immigration principles should reply to the president's immigration campaign with a simple message. Our focus is to help unemployed Americans get back to work, not to grant amnesty or to answer the whims of immigration activists and CEOs. In turn, the message could be joined with a detailed and unifying policy agenda for accomplishing the moral and social objective. As for Sessions' better agenda, he lays it out very precisely. Now, before I go into his agenda, let me just read a couple of things he said here again. It's like, I don't understand what these idiots of any public office. I mean, if you're a communist and you're trying to destroy the country, I guess I get it. But if you claim to believe in the Constitution, you can't claim to love your country, you claim to believe in America, then you're an idiot for what you're out there doing on this immigration crap. Okay, let me see. I want to read this one here. Okay. He adds, House Republicans in crafting immigration principles should reply to the president's immigration campaign with a simple message. Our focus is to help unemployed Americans get back to work, not grant amnesty or to answer the whims of immigration activists and CEOs. What a concept. What a concept that the American representatives would actually focus on Americans first. Protect America. Protect Americans. What a concept. But it seems like these idiots, including in both parties do it, but the GOP acts like it cares about people, and it doesn't. We don't care any more about the individual than what the Democrats do. That's why it's all one progressive national committee. That's really all it is. Okay, you know, a simple message. Our focus is to help unemployed Americans get back to work and not grant amnesty to answer the whims of the immigration activists and CEOs. Oh, somebody's trying to call me. They're going to have to wait. Okay. I mean, it's so common sense. What part of this don't the Republicans understand? I mean, the Democrats, if they want to openly admit they're communists and socialists because they no longer believe in the working class anyway, but on the truly on that side too, the Democrats who claim to care about the working class, they're stabbing the working class in the back, just like the Republicans are. It's just it's absolutely disgusting. Okay, and then the other is, in turn, that message could be joined with a detailed and unifying policy agenda accomplishing the moral and social objective. What a concept. Okay, now getting into as for Sessions' better agenda, he lays out it very precisely. The GOP's 2014 agenda should not be to assist the president in passing his immigration plan. Rather, it should be in consuming focus on restoring hope and opportunity to millions of discouraged workers, Americans. The GOP's 2014 agenda should be a national effort announced proudly and boldly to reduce the welfare rolls and get America back to work, including more American energy that creates good-paying jobs right here in the U.S., a more competitive tax and regulatory code that allows U.S. businesses and workers to compete on a level global playing field, a trade policy that increases U.S. exports and expands domestic manufacturing, an immigration policy that serves the interests of the American people. What a concept! And again, my total disgust, should you really have to even say that? Well, I mean, Boehner, are you really this stupid? And, of course, the GOP National Committee. I mean, you people are so disgusting. You're so anti-American, it's disgusting. And I'm going to be reading some of this on my message that I call into Speaker Boehner's office. And, you know, someplace I have his number here, and everybody needs to be calling his office. Make sure you call Speaker Boehner's office. That number is 204-225-5117. 202-225-5117. Send him faxes too. 202-225-5117. That's his fax number. His phone number, his speaker phone number, 202-225-0600. Let me say that one more time. Call Speaker Boehner. Tell him that Senator Jeff Sessions is right and that they should focus on American workers first, and call him at 202-225-0600. Now, his regular D.C. office number, because he's a representative from Ohio, his regular office is 202-225-0704. Call and fax all of them. Send it every which way you can. Cannot get loud enough. We can never get too loud on the immigration issue. And we have to do this now. Excuse me. Get so mad I get carried away here and can't even talk and breathe. Okay. Now I'm going to read that last one again, because this is like what truly should be the no-brainer for the GOP. An immigration policy that serves the interest of the American people. What about the Americans, GOPers? Are you really that stupid that you care more about Latinos than you do Americans? If you care more about Latinos, would you go to South America? Get the heck out of Dodge. If you're going to be in the United States of America and you're going to represent Americans, would you try caring about Americans first? Okay, the next thing is converting the welfare office into a job training center. What a concept. Making government leaner and more accountable to U.S. taxpayers. Restoring economic confidence by continuing our efforts to balance the federal budget. An all-out immigration push is required for these goals. I think it's spelled wrong what's in here, but okay. I think there's a typo there. But anyway. The whole point is that it's all about the American people. If we don't care, if the American representatives don't care about the Americans, then do not leave them in office. We need American representation to represent Americans and America, not everybody else in the planet or on the planet. And this is why we have to send the message to the GOP. Send it to all of them. But the GOP are the ones that they go around pretending like they care. They're the biggest hypocrites. They pretend they're not socialists, but they are. They pretend they're not communists, but they are, with the exception of a few. And there's a few Democrats that are actually who believe in the Constitution, too. But today's GOP doesn't seem to have a clue what the Constitution is. I mean, all you have to do is look how the GOP establishment, the Mike Huckabees, go out there and treat Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Mike Lee, these who have been much more statesmen, with Jeff Sessions, too. And Jeff Sessions, they haven't Jeff Sessions has been there for many years, and his position hasn't changed. I mean, I've never heard him say anything but this type of thing when it comes to immigration and to the budget and to Obamacare. I have nothing, everything he says, it just goes to the facts. Do we care about the American people first, or do we care about everybody else? I just think he's got the right message. Chuck Grassley and him are on a couple of the committees together, and they talk about the American people instead of everybody else. But see, the GOP establishment doesn't care about the American people anymore. They're more worried about Latinos, anti-American Latinos. That's who they care about. They don't care about all the Muslim Brotherhood that are coming over the border, illegal entry into this country over the southern border as well as others. So let's go ahead and promote the illegal invasion of the United States, because that's what the GOP is. Just when you think of the GOP as they're rambling this BS again, because that's all it is, it's more BS, say, understand what they're really doing. They are promoting the illegal invasion and takeover of the United States of America. And if that's not treason, what is? Now, the message that I have been faxing to the GOP and to other Democrats as well, but focusing on the GOP, because, again, they pretend to care about the Constitution. They pretend to care about the individual, and it's all just BS. They're just part of the National Progressive National Committee, which is the DNC and the RNC all combined into one. But here's what I've been sending. I started sending this out on Tuesday with our State of the Union. It's called State of Our Union. They keep forgetting it's Our Union. State of Our Union. Amnesty is the illegal invasion of the United States of America. Only a treasonous traitor could facilitate the destruction and fall of the United States of America. Hello, Harry Reid. And, of course, a few others out there, such as John McCain and Lindsey Graham and good old Marco Rubio. Okay, Americans will not support anti-American treasonous traitors that support amnesty. A liberal progressive by any name, DNC or RNC, is still a liberal progressive. GOP, do you hear us? 2014 is about Americans and America. Americans and America. Do you get that? Not illegal Muslim Brotherhood, not illegal Chinese nationals, not illegal Latinos. It's about America and Americans. Do you get it now? GOP, are you really this stupid? And Democrats, we're just having to face the facts. You have been converted into a bunch of communists. And I'm sick of people staying away from the word communist. Call it what it is. And by the way, if there's any doubt, John Ellis Bush, the Bush clan, is a bunch of communists. Go look it up. Do you think it's American-like to aid Hitler? Well, that's who the Bushes are. And that's why good old John Ellis Bush. So when you say Jeb Bush, you're saying John Ellis Bush. John Ellis Bush is his name. We do not need another Bush, communist Bush, in the White House. But John Ellis Bush is out there promoting Common Core, which is communism to the max. This is what the GOP has become, with the exception of a few, such as Senator Jeff Sessions, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and on the Stephen King, and there's others on the House side as well. Steve Stockman. I mean, there are others out there. We truly do have some statesmen, stateswomen in public office today, but there's not many. And the GOP does its best to corrupt those that are. It alienates those that are. I mean, the GOP is out there looking at Chris Christie. You know, GOP, if you want to be that stupid, go for it, but I ain't going to vote for him. I told you I wasn't going to vote for Romney. And you insisted on shoving Romney down everybody's throats. Are you going to be just as stupid in 2016? And are you going to be just as stupid in 2014 with the Senate and the congressional candidates, as well as all the local stuff, like in Florida, out there with Rick Scott? I'm not voting for Rick Scott. If you believe in the Constitution, you can't. But the GOP doesn't care about that anymore. People have to understand what the GOP has become. The DNC lost its way years ago, and that's the way it is. But the bottom line with any of it, they're both crap. It is one big happy family of progressive national committee / communists. They don't care. If we had enough Americans, enough statesmen and stateswomen in public office today in Washington, D.C., in those two houses of Congress, our border would be secure because that's what the law is. The president does not have the right to violate the law. Letting illegals come into this country is not in the national interest. Promoting an illegal invasion of the Muslim Brotherhood, like this president is doing, is not in the national interest. Breaking the law to aid in an illegal invasion with enemies. The Muslim Brotherhood are our enemies, people. Thomas Jefferson told us that years ago. They were called Muslims then. They weren't called the Brotherhood. And here we have a president who is openly out there converting our national military, the American military, into a Muslim Brotherhood military. That is what he's doing, and what are these two houses of Congress doing? So why are they not supporting securing the border? It's not rocket science. You've got a bunch of anti-Americans in public office, and anybody who would vote for amnesty needs to go because they're a treasonous traitor. Supporting amnesty is supporting the illegal invasion of this country. And I'll tell you, if you haven't seen it, you've got to go out there. Dennis Michael Lynch, he's a producer. There's some rumor that he might be going to run for office. I don't know. Personally, I think he might be doing us better on the outside, even though I'd love to see him in office. He's done the documentaries on They Come to America, the truth about the true cost of amnesty. They Come to America, learn the truth. Learn the truth of what's happening to your country, to our country. This is the real state of our union. Amnesty is the illegal invasion of the United States of America. Only a treasonous traitor could facilitate the destruction and fall of the United States of America. Americans will not support anti-American treasonous traitors that support amnesty. A liberal progressive by any name, DNC or RNC, is still a liberal progressive. GOP, do you hear us? We know the DNC doesn't. We know the Democrats are already converted over to communist. And the GOP, for the most part, is too. That's why it's up to the Americans to do something about it. Do not reelect any of these scumbuckets. Okay, so a liberal progressive by any name, DNC or RNC, is still a liberal progressive. GOP, do you hear us? 2014 is about Americans and America, not illegal Muslim Brotherhood, not illegal Chinese nationals, not illegal Latinos. It is about America. Do you get it now? If you don't, we have to fire you. Time for you to go home. And you need to go home without a pension. Why should you be getting all this money in a pension while we the people who pay for years and years into Social Security and your stinking budget get nothing, get squat. You try to steal the money we have paid into it. At any rate, Jeff Sessions has the plan, and go to, please, make sure you go to Session Warren's House, GOP. Immigration bill is bad politics, bad policy, offers a better way forward. And then the key quotes on here, which, I mean, just sums it up so much. I want to hear a Republican tell me that Jeff Sessions is wrong and why he's wrong. Bonehead Boehner, tell me why. I mean, I know what Harry Reid would say. And McConnell, what about you? And this is why we need to get rid of you and get Matt Bevin in there. We really need to get Matt Bevin and get rid of you because you're pro-amnesty too. Last time, you voted against it because you were running scared, not because of what you believed or what you wanted to do, I should say. I don't know what you believe. Who knows? I'm sure you believe whatever the GOP tells you to believe. But you were running scared, so you voted against it. Plus, you already saw that there was going to be enough votes against it so that you could vote against it, and it really, you weren't really the one who was the party breaker one way or the other because you're a hypocrite. And for the GOP establishment to promote and endorse the likes of Mitch McConnell tells you why they're failing, tells you why the House, you know, people are acting like, oh, with Obamacare, this means we're going to do this and that on the Senate and the House. No, it doesn't. Not with the crap that the Republicans have been doing. Because the Tea Partiers and those who the constitutionalists such as myself, we are not going to hold our nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. I'm voting for who I believe in, and if the Republicans are that stupid, then they're going to help elect Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton gets elected in 2016, it will be because the Republican Party let her get elected, because they were stupid. If we don't take over the Senate, if the Republicans don't take over the Senate in 2014, it's because Republicans are too stupid, because they keep promoting the progressive liberal communist crap like they're doing today. So make sure you call the RNC, fax them, and call your state party offices. Call everybody and be as annoying as you possibly can, because they're going to know. We are going to put the message out there loud and clear, and the message is getting out there loud and clear. Paul Ryan, you can be replaced by somebody who believes in the Constitution. Your crap of a budget, it was a big joke. And don't think true constitutionalists believe it. Maybe your GOP party loyalists do, but the rest of us don't. And more people are going to leave the Republican Party because of your stupidity. People disgust me so much. They're such hypocrites, such evil. All they care about is themselves, and they don't care a crap about this country. And I hope they rot someplace one day. And I think you know what I mean. Okay, I'm going to reread a little bit of this because I just think it's so important. I won't reread the whole thing. But the main thing is to know, go to the Weekly Standard. Sessions warns House immigration bill is bad politics and bad policy, offers a better way forward. And this was Daniel Halper, and that's Halper, I should say, H-A-L-P-E-R, and that's January 29th of this year. Okay. A sensible immigration policy would also listen to the opinion of the American people. Will the GOP ever listen to Americans? Will they ever embrace Americanism? Or the Latinos are more important to you? All you care about are the illegal Latinos, which means you are in love with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Chinese nationals that come over with them because you're too stupid to know any better. Not the opinions, okay, let me read that again. A sensible immigration policy would also listen to the opinion of the American people, not the opinions of the paid-for consultants trotted out with their agenda-driven polls to GOP member meetings, but actual honest opinion of the people who sent us here. Wow. The genius of being to say that you actually should represent the people that you're supposed to represent. You're there to represent the American people, but you don't seem to understand that. There's a reason why none of the corporate-funded ads for amnesty breathe a word about doubling immigration levels. According to the Rasmussen reports, working and middle-class Americans strongly oppose large expansions of our already generous immigration system. Those earning under $30,000 prefer a reduction to an increase by an overwhelming 3-to-1 margin. And bad policy. The senator from Alabama details coordinating with a small group of the nation's most powerful special interests. Last year, President Obama and Senate Democrats forced an immigration bill which can only be described as a hammer blow to the American middle class. The working class gets stabbed in the back from Obama and from the GOP. They're both doing it to them. They're both destroying the middle class, but they don't care. So don't act like the GOP is any different than Obama. And what I heard, the little bits and pieces I heard about health care, is something about, well, we have to make sure we have affordable health care for all Americans. That's what I actually heard I believe it was Bonehead again, who said that. Instead of talking about embracing the individual rights of choice, embracing the Constitution, and embracing the rights of Americans. And the problems that need to be fixed with insurance could easily be done by embracing what you commonly refer to as the Commerce Clause, by letting insurance companies do business across state lines. That's if you truly cared. But you don't. Okay, not only would it grant work permits to millions of and then we're talking about how stabbing the hammer blow to the American middle class, not only would it grant work permits to millions of illegal immigrants at a time of record joblessness. Now think about that. You're going to grant legal status to the illegals who are taking over the jobs for the people who are unemployed today. You're going to give the illegals the right to stab the American people in the back again. So if you're trying to kill the American people, you're doing a great job, GOP, if that's what your goal is, destroy America, which it seems to be. And again, we already know the Democrats have already been taken over by the socialist, communist, whatever, one world order mentality. They don't believe in any of the Bill of Rights. They want to totally destroy them. But the GOP is going to help them and go along with it. This is how stupid the GOP is. Okay, let's see here. Okay. It would also double the annual flow of new immigrant workers and provide green cards to more than 30 million permanent residents over the next decade. These new workers, mostly lesser skilled, will compete for the jobs in every sector of industry and occupation in the U.S. economy. So we've already got record unemployment, so let's bring more people into the job market so we have more unemployment so that we can destroy the United States of America. I mean, I understand that's what Obama's plan is, but apparently it's the plan of the GOP, too. Great, GOP. You're a bunch of treasonous traitors. That's what you are, backstabbing, treasonous traitors. He adds, House Republicans in crafting immigration principles should reply to the president's immigration plan with a simple message. Our focus is to help unemployed Americans get back to work, not to grant amnesty or to answer the whims of immigration activists and CEOs. In turn, that message could be joined with a detailed and unifying policy agenda for accomplishing that moral and social objective. What part of this do you guys not understand? GOP, are you really stupid enough to reject this? I want to know why any Republican would be against. Our focus is to help unemployed Americans get back to work, not to grant amnesty or to answer the whims of immigration activists and CEOs. In turn, that message could be joined with a detailed and unifying policy agenda for accomplishing that moral and social objective. This is what an American would do. But it looks like the GOP has been taken over by a bunch of progressive liberal communists. Yeah, you, Mr. McCain. Yes, you, Lindsey Graham. You're a bunch of treasonous traitors. And then we'll go over real quick his bullet points again. This is Sessions' better agenda. He lays it out very precisely. The GOP's 2014 agenda should not be to assist the president in passing his immigration plan. Rather, it should be a consuming focus on restoring hope and opportunity to millions of discouraged workers. The GOP's 2014 agenda should be a national effort announced proudly and boldly to reduce the welfare rolls and get Americans back to work, including more American energy that creates good-paying jobs right here in the U.S., a more competitive tax and regulatory code that allows U.S. businesses and workers to compete on a level global playing field, a trade policy that increases U.S. exports and expands domestic manufacturing, an immigration policy that serves the interests of the American people. Just when I read that, I have to say it again, because why do we have to tell them this? Do any of these people not get it? I mean, if you don't think this way, you should not be in public office supposedly representing people. An immigration policy that serves the interests of the American people, not the illegals. Converting the welfare office into a job training center, making government leaner and more accountable to U.S. taxpayers, restoring economic confidence by continuing our efforts to balance the federal budget. And there is actually more to this, but this is the main part that was printed at you, and I'd have to actually open the article online to see about and it puts the entire memo is here and worth a read. There was one other thing, too, with Jeff Sessions. And let's see, I got about 20 minutes here, so I'll still try to get to this. This is on the Examiner, Washington. Okay, the Examiner, Washington, and this is James J. Carfani, January 26th. Senator Jeff Sessions. No amnesty for immigration bill that violates the rule of law. What a concept. The rule of law. Of course, we don't even have a president who knows anything about the rule of law, so what do we expect anything from these two stupid houses of Congress? And I say stupid because I don't know what else to say. I mean, arrogant, self-serving, backstabbing, communist, treasonous, take your pick. Last year, when the Gang of Eight immigration bill headed to the Senate floor, Jeff Sessions filed no less than 15 amendments. It was pretty clear the junior senator from Alabama, I don't know why they're calling him junior senator, he's not a junior senator, but anyway, it was pretty clear the junior senator from Alabama was out to kill the bill. Okay. In person, Sessions doesn't look like a bill slayer type. Polite and affable, he comes across as a very perpetual Mr. Smith goes to Washington rather than a bulldog. Yet over the years, Sessions has proved to be very serious about some very serious issues. He hates higher taxes, has no use for Obamacare, and has a passion for providing for the common defense. Most recently, he gained the reputation of being the most aggressive and dogged opponent of the amnesty bill passed in the Senate last year. Sessions fought the bill to the last vote in the Senate, and to this day he peppers the press with news releases articulating the downside of amnesty and bucking up amnesty opponents in the House. And what if the lower chamber passes? Let's see. Okay. Whoops. Okay. Was I? Sorry about that. I'm going back and forth, and I lost my place. Okay, and what if the lower chamber passes some form of immigration bill and sends it back to the Senate for conference? Noting that Senator Robert Menendez, the Democrat in New Jersey, has vowed to conference any House-passed measure in a comprehensive amnesty-granting bill, Sessions has vowed to fight the battle all over again. It is not that the senator opposes fixing the nation's flawed immigration system and broken borders. Last year, Sessions told the Washington Post he wants to see good. He wants to see good legislation passed and do it in a way that's responsible and compassionate. But he sees the current bill as much too Obamacare-ish, a massive, complicated, fiscally irresponsible bill cobbled together by special interests and bound to create more problems than it solves. Because he has stood so far out front, he has taken a lot of heat. He's a regular target for liberal bloggers and pundits like Rachel Maddow. But Sessions doesn't back off. And again, this is what I've seen with Sessions all along. These are the reasons why I have liked, have followed him and liked him and supported him. He's truly an American statesman to me, something we don't have much of these days in Washington. One might wonder why he picked an explosive issue like immigration for his lonely crusade, but the impetus for his determined stand is clear, a total commitment to the rule of law. Wow, what a concept. The rule of law, and Sessions is an attorney. Before running for the U.S. Senate, he served as both federal prosecutor and state attorney general. After serving as a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Alabama, Ronald Reagan nominated him for a federal judgeship, but later withdrew it in the face of Democratic opposition. Sessions' entire professional career has been shaped by the belief that impartial justice is the glue that holds a free society together. No truer words are spoken. Our justice system is broke, too. Again, like I said, these are just the reasons why I have always admired Jeff Sessions. Okay. Sessions sees quite clearly that passing an immigration bill designed to make immigration law unenforceable would do violence to the rule of law. Passage of any amnesty bill will simply encourage more people to disregard the law and enter the country illegally. The 1986 amnesty helped tempt millions of people to immigrate illegally in the hope of one day receiving amnesty. Rather than repeat the era, Sessions is holding out for a reform bill that will actually fix the current system. For example, Washington can reform the non-immigrant visa system to help employers get the hard-to-find workers that they need to grow the economy. And the government could resume enforcing existing immigration and employment laws rather than intentionally hobbling enforcement. These common-sense measures are supported by the vast majority of Americans. That is it. We've been saying it here on American Statesman for years. We don't need immigration reform. We need immigration enforcement. Enforce the current laws and then see what you need to fix. How do you know what you need to fix when you don't follow the laws right now? And I mean, this nonsense about securing the border, they're going to come up with a bill to secure the border? You've already got one, stupid. Boehner, don't you know your own laws? You guys passed a bill to secure the border a long time ago, but Obama wrote an executive order saying disregard the law. What are you doing, Boehner? How are you any different than good old Harry Reid? You're not. Or McConnell. These common sense measures are supported by the vast majority of Americans. Better to start small with a broad support rather than push through a comprehensive bill cobbled together to satisfy Washington's most highly paid lobbyist. See, they're not working for the American people. They're working for the lobbyist. Remember when, for those of you who don't remember when American States first came on the air, We stress, and we said it almost every show, and I need to start saying it more, what's the difference between a statesman and a politician? Politician is working for the next election. A statesman is working for the next generation. Now, do you have a statesman? Have you elected a statesman or stateswoman to office, or have you elected a politician? We need to exterminate the crap-all-up politicians, the scumbag politicians that are killing this country, and it doesn't matter what party they're in. Go read President George Washington's farewell address and read what he says about parties and how they divide the nation, the will of a few, divert the will of the usurp the will of the people, the will of a nation. go out there and see what it says about factions and parties. They're the same thing. A faction like the Chamber of Commerce, that's an association / faction that's meant to divide people. And you have to understand that. Okay, let's see here. Common sense measures are supported by the VAFT. Okay. Better to start small with broad support rather than pursue a comprehensive bill cobbled together to satisfy Washington's most highly paid lobbyist. Government for sale. In the end, Congress may do the right thing and put the principle of rule of law above politically driven amnesty. If that happens, no one will deserve more credit than the not-so-quiet lion from Alabama. I like that. The not-so-quiet lion. And it really is true when you listen to Senator Jeff Sessions. He is very polite, he's very articulate, and he's very sincere. I have a hard time not believing what he says. And I happen to agree. I mean, I've listened to him in these committees. He goes out there, he pounds down on the stupidity of what these evildoers are doing. You know, if you're a communist, if you're a communist, then you should never be in public office, because a communist is not anybody who can hold up the Constitution. The Muslim faith doesn't believe in our Constitution. So when you take a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution when you don't believe in the Constitution, don't you have a problem there? And when I say this about the Muslims, this is what they believe. And you know what? If you're in America, you have the right to be a communist in America. But that by itself doesn't give you the right to take away my rights. And if we want to, if the majority of people become communist in this country, then that's what we will be. I will have to go with the flow. But I can tell you right now, at this moment, I don't for one minute believe the majority of Americans, legal Americans, believe in communism. Even though I think it's something that when you're out there in the real world and you're talking to people about what's happening, ask them, what is communism? I mean, I have been doing this for the past couple of months. I really got into it. Part of it was this amnesty, the amnesty thing, the immigration bill and the amnesty, and also Obamacare. And then these other things that have happened across our country, the NSA, the fact that a person can't live off the grid in their own home, the harassment they're taking, which I need to find out what the status of that case is, that you can't grow food in your yard. And I'm like, okay, so what is communism? What is communism? And it's really interesting when you go out there and you talk to people in general, even those that are irate about, loyal to the Second Amendment and irate about the attempts to take away our gun rights, even to the point of shutting down the ammunition manufacturers. When you ask them that, sometimes, you know, they say government control everything. Or sometimes they just don't really seem to know. They talk about Hitler. Or they may mention China. And they say, well, you know, and it does kind of tie into communism. I mean, communist China, yes, it's communist. But it's all to do with you lose your rights as an individual. You become part of the collective. Common property. There's nothing, you don't have the right to private property. Everything is owned in common. That means you do not have the right to own a car. You do not have the right to own a home. The government will say, here's where you're going to live. And we'll sprinkle a few drops of food for you to eat. But we will control you. You are part of you are public property. You're not an individual. You have no individual rights. You are part of the common collective community. And just think of how that is common core, communism, community, communism, excuse me, common property, everything owned in common, communism. and stop calling China China. Call it what it is, Communist China. So we are in debt to Communist China. How does that make you feel as a supposedly free American? And are you a free American? Are you really? I don't feel like I'm a free compared to what those in Communist China completely are. Yes. Freer than still other places in this world, but we're losing it. When they can go in and tell you you cannot grow food on your own property, when you are not allowed the rights, as an American, to fly a flag in your yard, you're not an American. You're not in America. That's not America. When you're not allowed the rights to decide what kind of medical treatment you will get or not get. That's communism. Your rights to do anything are being taken away from you. Say it out loud. Communism. And face the facts. Communism has arrived to America. Communism in America. Communism has arrived to America. And do you want to, if you're happy with communism, okay, I'm not. I'm of the live free or die routine. Don't tread on me. I happen to believe in the Constitution. I happen to believe in what this country was founded on. And you know what? If people disagree, let's go through process like we're supposed to and have a constitutional amendment. I hear a lot of talk about the Constitutional Convention, and I do truly fear some of the things. It's part of me says it may be the only way to do it because we don't truly have a Constitution today. At the same time, the corruption of what's in public office today, I don't know who I would send to the Constitutional Convention. Who would I send? Well, at any rate, we're getting down to the last couple minutes here, and I knew once I got started on amnesty and also Jeff Sessions, Senator Sessions information, I would take up an hour quite easily. And Americans, please get engaged. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? I said for 2014, it's seek the truth, face the truth, and then we can save America. If you seek the truth, to face the truth, we can save America. I truly, truly believe that. But we have to get past what these stupid political parties are doing to us. You cannot be loyal to a political party. You must understand the individual. Jeff Sessions is a Republican, and I think he embraces what the Republican Party used to be. Chuck Grassley is a Republican. You got Cruz. And Rand Paul, Mike Lee, those are Republicans. I personally wish they would move over into the Libertarian Party and encourage Americans to leave the Republican Party because it's too liberal and form a new one. Either form an American Party or form a or move to the Libertarian Party, but abandon the GOP. So anyway, on that note, thank God for America. It's up to Americans to protect America. Honor the American's creed. Honor your Constitution. And defend America against all enemies. We must stop amnesty. Amnesty is the illegal invasion of the United States of America. And if we don't stop it, it's over. That's all there is to it. So on that note, again, thank you for tuning in. Please be engaged. Please be involved. Seek the truth. Face the truth. Then we can save America. God bless America, and good night, everyone.